Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Questions after a deadly crash outside of a Rochester, New York concert venue. Three people are dead and others injured after an SUV driven by 35-year-old Michael Avery, full of gas canisters, struck a smaller SUV and burst into flames.
Why Avery did this remains something of a mystery. The police chief here in Rochester say that the family believes he was suffering from some kind of an undiagnosed mental health issue. We're told that he's had no prior interaction with police. The chief would not say if the family had ever tried to get him some help.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. Lebanon confirms a major explosion in South Beirut near a Hezbollah stronghold has killed at least six people today, including a top Hamas leader. Hamas and Hezbollah have blamed Israel, but no claims of responsibility. Japan Airlines flight caught fire after hitting a Coast Guard plane at Tokyo's airport. Five Coast Guard members killed, but all 397 people on the Japan Airlines flight survived. This is ABC News.
Eagle 1490.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The names of six Republicans and one Democrat will appear on Wisconsin's presidential primary ballots, at least for now. That list includes Donald Trump and President Biden. The Presidential Preference Selection Committee met this morning. Candidates who want to be taken off the list have until the 30th to say so. Candidates who want to be added will have to collect signatures to qualify. Wisconsin's primary is April 2nd. A recent study shows Wisconsin has the second highest number of crashes between vehicles and animals of any state in the nation. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says there were 57 fatal crashes involving live animals in Wisconsin since 2017. That's 14% of all fatal crashes in Wisconsin during that time. Only Montana ranked higher. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. UW President Jay Rothman said Friday that former UW La Crosse Chancellor Joe Gow's termination was justified after Gow told media members that the Board of Regents overreacted in firing him. Gow was fired after the board learned that he and his wife had appeared in pornographic videos online. Rothman called Gow's actions abhorrent and said that chancellors need to be role models for the communities they serve. Rothman said he also filed a complaint to review Gow's status as a tenured faculty member. Gow said he's considering a lawsuit, saying the termination violated his First Amendment right to free speech. One person is dead after a rollover crash early yesterday morning in Buffalo County. The sheriff's office said a 31-year-old Duran man was found dead at the scene of the crash on Highway 25 in the town of Nelson. No cause of the single vehicle crash was given. Officials said that the man's vehicle went off of the highway and hit a driveway embankment at around 5:10 a.m. on New Year's Day. The highway was closed for 4 hours. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The Pacers snapped the Bucks' winning streak. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Pacers beat the Bucks 122-113. That snapped a 15-game winning streak at home for Milwaukee. Giannis had 30 points, but Damian Lillard hit only 3 of 16 shots from the floor.
It's part of the game. You know, I think that's the first thing. Sometimes you just, the ball doesn't go in. I thought tonight, as somebody who shoots the ball, I felt like a lot they were all going in.
The Bucks play the Pacers again Wednesday in Indianapolis. College football. Wisconsin loses to LSU in the ReliaQuest Bowl, 35-31. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell.
This hurts. I think we had every opportunity. Our guys did about everything they could to put us in a position that this is what we wanted. We wanted an opportunity to get this thing to the fourth quarter and find a way to finish. And that's probably been as big of our Achilles heel all year. You know, starting fast was one of those things that we hadn't done well all year, and finishing is the other one.
That's Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Mostly cloudy today with high temperatures rising into the mid-30s. By this afternoon, we'll be battling a breezy southwest wind gusting up to 20 miles per hour. And overnight, a cold front starts to push in, bringing chances of flurries by tomorrow morning, which could linger throughout tomorrow afternoon. Right now, 33 degrees.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. The Mississippi to our left, Granddad on the right. We're right in the middle. Eagle 1490 WLCX, the talk of La Crosse.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide and live on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. Hope everybody had a good New Year's Eve, but now we're starting another year. And let me tell you something. History is made every second of every day, whether you're out partying New Year's Eve, whether you were sleeping, whether you were awake. History is relentless, and we are going to track it in real time so that when your grandchildren say, "Were you alive back when such and such happened?" you can say, "Yes, I was, and I was knowledgeable about it and alert to it." Where to start? A lot happened over the last couple of days. One absolutely fascinating revelation. It's culminating in a book that's being published on March 12th. Is that Donald Trump, the day after he lost the 2020 election, actually hired a legitimate voter specialist, voter data specialist, an expert, to find fraud in the election so that he could have somebody with credentials, not somebody like Sidney Powell, the Kraken lawsuits, or Ken Chesbro, giving rise to the pun that it was cheese and Kraken that dragged Trump down, both of them indicted in Atlanta, but somebody who had unimpeachable credentials. He hired the guy. His name was Ken Block, and he owned a voter data expertise company, and the guy did very, very substantial research into it. And his book's coming out March 12th, and here's what he said. His company is Simpatico Software Systems. And he informed Trump, after he'd done expert and deep research, that Trump paid him to find voter fraud. And he told Trump there wasn't any. There wasn't any that would have changed the election. And the voter fraud that he did find was bipartisan, involving a handful of people who died, who voted after they had died, and a handful of people who own two homes, one vacation home, one regular home, and they voted in both places. He said there were about equal numbers of Republicans and Democrats who did this. The instance of deceased voters, and this happened in Wisconsin in two or three cases, were examples where, for instance, a mother and her adult daughter lived together. They both send in for absentee ballots, and then the mother dies before election day, but the daughter knows exactly how she was going to vote, fills it out for her mother, signs the form and sends it in, thinking that that's okay. That is not okay. It's technically a felony. Many of those things were prosecuted. Some people had put as addresses public institutions, like they'd in the disclosure of their identity, they would say they lived at the Walmart on Capitol Drive or something like that. Those were very rare, and they were bipartisan. People that owned two homes typically were Republicans, but not always, not always. Some people mistakenly thought that they could vote in both places. That's a felony as well. But Block told Trump these were so rare and so bipartisan that there was no voting fraud. Trump went ahead and lied about it and said that there was massive fraud. And Block was amazed. Block was amazed. His data and his report was subpoenaed by the January 6th committee. And as I say, there was no evidence of fraud. This buttressed the January 6th committee's findings. And the bipartisan nature of this, there was one out in Nevada, you may remember this, where a guy claimed there was fraud and he had evidence. And then it turned out that he himself had committed fraud by voting in two places. He was a Trump supporter. So the next time, and I found this, frankly, with people whom I know who are Republicans, some businessmen and others, they just blithely repeat this. Trump has continued to lie about it, and his major supporters have lied about it. And I think it's important to tell them he went out and hired one of the best. This guy, Ken Block, his voter data systems company, and the guy did legitimate inquiry into it, and he was open-minded. He was open-minded. Trump told them that his hope was that he would find the substantial fraud and that Trump could be reinstated to the White House. Ken Block said, fine, I'll look for it. And he dug and he dug and he dug. And then he gave a comprehensive report to Donald Trump. And then Trump went out and lied about it and boasted that he had found, I mean, this guy, I mean, you'll see other instances during the show today of some of the extraordinary things that have happened with Trump. But next time you're talking to folks and they go, oh, well, you know, I heard there was fraud. There was not fraud that was at all relevant in a handful of cases, and it was bipartisan. People voted in two places because they owned summer homes, and people who were living with one of their parents, and one died, but the absentee ballot had already come in. In good faith, they filled it out, knowing how their parent was going to vote, and that's what happened. So it's important. And this information, by the way, was subpoenaed by the January 6th committee, as I said, and is part of their report. Part of their report. Another development that happened, it was just announced about 10 minutes before we went on the air. Claudine Gay, president of Harvard University, resigned just now. Squeezed out, and appropriately squeezed out. Let's review the bidding on that one. There are two things. One is when she was asked at a congressional hearing if somebody or a crowd chants that they're calling for the genocide of Jews, would that violate Harvard's policy against bullying and harassment? And Claudine Gay looked like a deer in the headlights, and she said it would depend on the context, which is false. Calling for genocide doesn't depend on any context. Genocide is its own context. And the truth is that Harvard really has become nothing more than an identity politics mosh pit. There are some groups have simply taken over the libraries, and if you are a Jewish student or you're a student, a serious student of any faith, and don't go along with their ideology, you're excluded. Some cases you're surrounded by people shouting at you. In some cases you are punched, you're hit. Applications to Harvard have gone down. It's a very prestigious university, but it's living on the prestige of a couple hundred years ago. Harvard was founded in the mid 1600s. Oldest university in the country. Second oldest is William and Mary, the the late 17th century. The third oldest is Yale University, founded in 1701. And all of these universities are living on the derivative prestige of long ago. But if this keeps up, their brands are being destroyed, and Harvard in particular. The other thing that Claudine Gay ran into is when she got involved in this controversy, people looked back over her scholarship. And it turned out more than 50% of her published articles and published material was plagiarized. More than 50%, including her dissertation in 1997. Just this week, there were six more charges. One of them was that she had lifted half a page without quotation marks or attribution from a political science scholar at the University of Wisconsin, our university. She'd read stuff, she'd like it, plug it in. She did that with more than 50% of her work. And frequently it was derivative. And her work, by the way, is not deep, it's not strong, it's basically victimology. And she's president of Harvard University and very weak. And so she sat back while kids were being bullied. And they've seen an immediate reaction in early acceptances this time. What's an early acceptance? At Harvard, at Yale, and a lot of these places, and a lot of other universities, they'll say, okay, you can apply for early admission. In other words, you're not going to wait till April. We'll let you know by December. But you have to agree that if you get it, you have to either accept it or deny it immediately, accept it or reject it immediately, and withdraw all other applications. Typically, an early acceptance at Harvard is the gold standard. That's terrific. This time, there were a number of people who had applied, and then after October 7, and they saw what Claudine Gay was doing to Harvard and the bullying of students, didn't accept the early acceptance from Harvard University. That was unheard of. Actually, absolutely unheard of. People, it's not only that they're afraid to go there. These are some of the best students in the country. They can go anywhere they want. And Harvard, in the long run, is costing itself excellence. If they keep her on the faculty, it'll be a travesty. For one thing, people who, and some faculty members, by the way, were in on this mosh pit of identity politics and excluding and harassing students. There was one proctor for one of the houses there who was involved where an Israeli business student was punched. And 100 of them wrote in support or against the efforts of Harvard to stop anti-Semitism, and 500 of them vote in support of Claudine Gay. And one of the concerns I've heard from people who are thinking of going there is this, that these people have absolute power to give you your grade. They may not flunk you, but if they don't like you because of your faith tradition or because you don't comply with their ideas, what they can do is give you a mediocre grade, a C, the equivalent of a C or a D, or C minus. And regardless of what you do, and people are concerned about that. I'm concerned about that. And as a result, Harvard has got to turn this around. They've got to come up with a president who is on the up and up. Okay, I see you on the line. Do not hang up. Coming up, death threats against the Secretary of State of Maine because of Donald Trump. You'll hear the details.
Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down, tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
This is the talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On the Eagle 1490 WLCX.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Welcome back. Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. John of Boaz, my friend, thanks for calling. John, what's in your mind today?
Hi, Matt Flynn. Can we go back to history, 1944, when sure. We were fighting the Japanese in the South Pacific?
Right.
I was wondering, did you get the copy of the Twin Towers I sent you?
You know, I'm sure I have. I personally am not physically broadcasting from where you probably sent it, but they alert me all the time. I'll certainly check on it. But John, is this the deal about there was a smoke plume behind a painting in 1965 that seemed to anticipate the 2001 deal, 9/11? Is that the one you're talking about?
You'll have to be the judge of that, Matt. It looks just a little bit coincidental to me.
Okay. Well, I'll certainly look at it, John. But you got to put me down as a skeptic, John, okay? You got to put me down as a skeptic. I'll look at anything. I will give you my best shot at it, and I'll certainly find out if an email came in to me. And look forward to it. Thanks very, very much. There has been a development with the Secretary of State for Maine, Shenna Bellows. Now, Shenna Bellows decided that because Trump was an insurrectionist, Article 3 of the 14th Amendment clearly barred him from the ballot. And she had plenty of company. She not only had the Colorado Supreme Court, but she had Professor Lawrence Tribe of Harvard, and she had a lot of constitutional experts. And I don't hold myself out to be a constitutional expert. I enjoy talking about it, reading about it, studying it. But the truth of the matter is, I think she's on solid ground. That said, Donald Trump, immediately after she did that, posted a link to her bio page on social media, his social media, Truth Social, and of course it got reposted. Immediately, she started getting threatening messages, death threats, and then swatting. Swatting is when somebody puts in a fake 9/11 call, says there's a murder going on your house. You get a swarm of police officers with guns drawn. They scare the heck out of you. And frankly, and this hasn't happened so far that I know of, certainly not in Wisconsin, but when that happens, if you make a wrong move and the officers have to protect themselves, it could result in a tragedy in your home. It's also a felony. And I think that there's been insufficient follow-up and insufficient prosecutions for this kind of conduct, but that happened to Shenna Bellows. She and her husband were out, I don't know, to a show or a dinner or something, and she gets word that the cops are all over her house. There is a well-known former prosecutor named Glenn Kirshner. Now, you may have read about Glenn, and Glenn has said, he was a former prosecutor. He has said that Donald Trump should be jailed for doing this, and I agree, and here is the explanation why. First of all, it sends an ominous signal, and it's essentially a decree to all of his supporters that the target must be dealt with. The target must be dealt with. Secondly, immediately after he does these things, and he didn't do it only to Shenna Bellows, he did it to the Colorado Supreme Court justices. He has done it to Jack Smith and his wife. He's done it to Arthur Engoron and his wife and his family. He's done it to the law clerk, for Pete's sake, of Arthur Engoron. That's the one that Letitia James is bringing in New York City. all of these people received death threats. All of them. Fannie Willis has said that she got so many death threats and has been, she's the prosecutor in Fulton County, Georgia, so many hateful messages using the N-word, she said, more than anybody I've ever heard. Now, by continuing to do this, somebody is going to get killed. There are, there's security, but none of these people can afford security the way Mitt Romney can. And secondly, no matter what security you have, you don't have the kind of security that Donald Trump has. Because as a former president, he has Secret Service security, and people can't get close to him. That's not true with a lot of these other people. And there was one woman threatened to kill Tanya Chutkan, the judge in D.C., and actually went there and has now been charged. There's a guy, the minute Trump attacked the FBI, went to Cincinnati to kill FBI agents. What's going to happen when you threaten police officers is they are going to defend themselves, and they should, and it's going to result in gunfire that was unnecessary. This is Donald Trump. But the thing that's most disturbing of all, and I see you on the lines, do not hang up, I'll get to you shortly. The thing that's most disturbing of all to me is that Vogue magazine has just come out with an article and said that the reason why a number of congressmen are supporting Donald Trump is because of death threats. Because of death threats. These are perhaps moderate Republicans. They're afraid of being called rhinos by Trump. Because the minute they're called a rhino by Trump, they get death threats. Their kids get death threats. One of them had to hire security at his own campaign expense to take one of his children to middle school. That's disgusting. Glenn Kirshner said, and I agree with him, that Trump, because of the Shanabellos thing, but even beyond that, certainly the next time, he has to be ordered into court and taken into custody. I'm going to leave you what the law is, and I'm going to go to the lines. The law is this. If you are on pretrial release and you threaten the safety of anyone, that's revoked and you go to jail. You go to jail till trial, and that's what should happen to him. Jack of Merrimack, my friend. What's on your mind today, Jack? We have a minute or two before we have to cut out. What's up?
Well, first thing is all this legal action against Trump should have been happening 3 years ago. This is
correct. You know, correct.
It's way, way too long. What's happened, unfortunately, and in spite of the fact that McConnell himself, who is hardly a nonpartisan and certainly not a moderate Republican in my book, even given the people he rammed into the Supreme Court. In any case, he stated clearly there's no question that Donald Trump is responsible for what happened January 6th. He should have been hauled into court at that point in time, at least using the evidence of the January 6th commission wasn't out yet, but using the evidence of the impeachment hearings. And why he wasn't prosecuted, well, that's what's led to this. At this point, his entire campaign is based on three things: retribution, revenge, and retaliation.
Right. Listen, Jack, I'm going to get back to you as soon as we come back real quick. Couldn't agree with you more, and very, very concisely put. Coming up, a lot of news and weather. And Joe Biden now is serious about pressing ahead to seize $300 billion from Russia and turn it over to Ukraine. And I'm glad to see it coming up.
Lacrosse and Western Wisconsin is talking about. You're soaring with the Eagle. Eagle 1490 WLCX.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. New higher sales taxes are in effect in Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. Local officials voted for the increases last summer as part of a deal to increase the amount of shared revenue state government returns to local communities. When combined with the state's 5% sales tax, consumers in Milwaukee are paying a 7.9% sales tax, and the rest of Milwaukee County, it's 5.9%. Three people are dead after police say they sped away from a traffic stop in Monona last night. An officer tried to stop a speeding driver, but they drove away. Officers used spike strips to try to stop the car. It caused it to crash, killing all three people in the vehicle. The officers involved are on desk duty while the Department of Criminal Investigation and the Wisconsin State Patrol investigate. I'm Terry Bell. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 1490 The Eagle WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A suspected break-in at a Trempealeau County home led to one man being shot early yesterday morning. The Blair Police Department said that a man had broken into a home after 1 a.m. yesterday when the homeowner shot him. Investigators said the man attempting to break in was found in the garage of the home and was taken to a hospital. Police said the man was involved in another break-in the same night. No other information, including whether charges will be filed, was released. UW President Jay Rothman said Friday that former UW Lacrosse Chancellor Joe Gow's termination was justified after Gow told media members that the Board of Regents overreacted in firing him. Gow was fired after the board learned that he and his wife had appeared in pornographic videos online. Rothman called Gow's actions abhorrent and said that chancellors need to be role models for the communities they serve. Rothman said he also filed a complaint to review Gow's status as a tenured faculty member. Gow said he's considering a lawsuit, saying the termination violated his First Amendment right to free speech. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The Foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
The Pacers snapped the Bucks' winning streak. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Pacers beat the Bucks 122-113. That snapped a 15-game winning streak at home for Milwaukee. Giannis had 30 points, but Damian Lillard hit only 3 of 16 shots from the floor.
It's part of the game. You know, I think that's the first thing. Sometimes you just, the ball doesn't go in. I thought tonight, as somebody who shoots the ball, I felt like a lot they were all going in.
The Bucks play the Pacers again Wednesday in Indianapolis. College football. Wisconsin loses to LSU in the ReliaQuest Bowl 35-31. Badgers head coach Luke Fickle.
This hurts. I think we had every opportunity. Our guys did about everything they could to put us in a position that this is what we wanted. We wanted an opportunity to get this thing to the fourth quarter and find a way to finish. And that's probably been as big of our Achilles heel all year. You know, starting fast was one of those things that we hadn't done well all year, and finishing is the other one.
That's Luke Fickle with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Mostly cloudy today with high temperatures rising into the mid-30s. By this afternoon, we'll be battling a breezy southwest wind gusting up to 20 miles per hour. And overnight, a cold front starts to push in, bringing chances of flurries by tomorrow morning, which could linger throughout tomorrow afternoon. Right now, 33 degrees.
1 in 4 Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Providing you with an eagle-eye view of what lacrosse is talking about. You're soaring with Eagle 1490. Tell a friend.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines, and then I will respond to Jack of Merrimack. Steve of Green Bay, my friend. Thanks for calling, Steve. And what's in your mind today?
Good morning, Matt. Or I should say good afternoon. Where have I been? good afternoon. Happy New Year. So I have a question, being that you're a lawyer and such. I did the brave thing and I called my local conservative station and talked to the radio host there this morning and asked them why they're so gung-ho about talking about Biden and the supposed crimes he did, but they don't talk about Trump and the 91 indictments that are on Trump. And his response to that was, they don't talk about Trump because the charges against Trump are just conjured up, made up things to try to keep him from getting elected. The Democrats are afraid that they have to conjure up all these conspiracy theories about what Trump did, even though we all saw it with our own eyes, so he doesn't get elected. And after talking to the conservative talk show host, I was a little flabbergasted that these people are so delusional that they literally think that the Democrats are supposedly going through and, you know, with the whole Trump thing simply because they can't beat them in the polls. I think that's absolutely ridiculous, and it's a fabrication of the facts. But that's what these people are spewing over talk radio, and I don't know how legally the FCC allows them to say this, because this is just completely false.
That's a great call, Stephen, and I want to respond in some detail because you raise a lot of different things. First of all, the FCC changed its rules in the 1980s. Before that, you had to have equal time. So in other words, on this show even, although my show tends to be more direct, so to speak, and take on any impropriety I see wherever it is. But, you know, you have people, let's say a Mark Belling or a Rush Limbaugh. Prior to the mid-1980s, every time they went off on some screed against liberals, they'd have to give equal time to somebody on the other side to talk. In the mid-1980s, the FCC said, well, under the First Amendment, we're not going to do that anymore. And what will happen is that there will be conservative and right-wing stations and liberal and left-wing stations. What they didn't anticipate was that the right-wing stations would proliferate and there wouldn't be many, in fact, none at all in some cases, in some states, liberal stations. One of the things about civic media, and we're statewide now, and Sage Weil, the new head of civic media, has been very far-sighted in this, is that we're all over the state and we tell it like it is and we're getting a good reaction. So I think you can spread that around to friends of yours who advertise and all that. That's number one. Number two, the whole idea of talk radio normally, especially right-wing talk radio, you have to be on message 24/7 and you have to discredit the other side. And there's the description for that is the so's your old man defense. In other words, if you're caught red-handed robbing a bank, you say, well, you did the same thing, or so your father did the same thing. And it's always a lie. This was something that was really pioneered in Italy in the 1920s and Germany in the 1930s. If you do something horrendous, accuse your opponent of doing it. Keep repeating it. And then in the public mind, it's a pox on both their houses. They all do it, even if the one side is lying. And then no one is trying to do this to get them to vote for Trump. They're trying to get them to do this so they don't vote or don't vote Democratic. It's been shown that if there is extreme mud in a campaign, in other words, horrific charges on both sides, even if the charges from the Democrats to the Republicans are true and the Republican response is false, it drives voter turnout down. There's a lot of other data that shows that if voter turnout is low, it benefits Republicans. That's what's going on. Give you an example, Hunter Biden. I don't defend Hunter Biden. Yeah, he's the president's son. The president loves him. Biden had nothing to do with financially with Hunter Biden's thing. But they relentlessly go after Hunter Biden and try to impeach Biden, Joe Biden. Why is that? First of all, Donald Trump's been impeached twice. And he came close to being convicted the second time on the insurrection impeachment. something like 8 Republican senators voted to convict him. So in other words, 58% of the Senate said that not only did he do it, but he should be removed from office, but it takes 67 of them, 2/3. And that's a very, that's an impossible burden in this day and age. So they go after Biden, not because they think he should be impeached, but because they can then say in their ads, both candidates were impeached. You see what I'm saying? The second thing is with Hunter Biden, does anybody ever talk about Jared Kushner? Well, nobody understands, in my view, the average person who's not a lawyer doesn't understand how Jared Kushner got $40 million a year from Saudi Arabia in perpetuity. Why is that? Because the Crown Prince, Chainsaw Charlie, gave him $2 billion with a B to, quote, invest, end quote. Jared Kushner doesn't know anything more about investing than I do, or you do. All he has to do is put it in vanilla-type investments, or he can take chances. The Crown Prince doesn't care. The Crown Prince paid several $100 million for a painting, a European painting, from an obscure, not from Picasso. You know, you're not talking Michelangelo. You're talking some obscure guy. He has a yacht that's worth $500 million. $2 billion to him is like $200 to you because he steals it. It's an autocratic state. He steals it in oil revenue from the masses over there. But what Jared Kushner gets for the $2 billion under investment is most of these people who have that kind of investment fund get 2% of it every year, whether or not they make money or even if they lose it, half of it. So if you start the year with $2 billion, you're going to get $40 million. You hire a couple of secretaries and a couple of computers and a couple of people just out of business school, and you say, you know, put it in blue chips or put it in Japanese small caps or whatever. Who cares? He got $40 million a year, and he's still getting it because they know that they have their hooks into Trump, just like the Ruskies have their hooks into Trump, and that's why they fund his action. Eric Trump disclosed that to a journalist. That is what happens. Why is nobody talking about $40 million a year to Jared Kushner, who then Trump, they sponsor the Saudi Golf Network, corrupt our golf. They may corrupt the NBA. You'd think, okay, well, these guys get a lot of money. Well, not all of them get a lot of money. So they just try to muddy the waters when they are the criminals. That's what's going on. Joe Biden is one of the most honest presidents we've ever had. I'm going to the lines. Going to the lines. Gina Beauclair, my friend, you're first. What's on your mind today, Gene?
Hi, Matt. Great show as usual, educating the public. You know, this thing with Russia, you know, we really did think that he was buddies with, I like to use the word that you use, Ruskies. And Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. Now, Ron Johnson was recently on, I think on Fox, it's been reported, in that he, you know, is slowing down work on the border money, getting money to the border, which they love that chaos, so they can send all kinds of pictures, you know, about all this chaos going on down there. Right. However, he's trying to slow this down, because he doesn't want money to go to Ukraine. Now, isn't this weird, you know, that, you know, Ron Johnson Association, also, you know, we don't hear much about that lovely NRA, and we were members years ago when they were really an NRA that taught kids how to shoot and hunt and things like that. But anyway, this NRA, you know, was, you know, in Russia where they're not allowed to have guns, and, you know, in our proliferation of guns with people in chaotic situations, what a great way to cause chaos in the United States of America. And then being invited in by Trump and a lot of those Republicans that are still in office to have chaos in the United States, make everybody question anything that's said on the Democratic side. And it's amazing to me, the brainwashing, the lies, the breaking down of our society. It's some days it's overwhelming to watch what these people are getting away with. And the sooner they get these people, you know, criminally prosecuted and lock them up, I think our country is going to heal. But I don't see anything till that happens, because people need to pay attention. They've been saying these lies for a long time, and they got a modus operandi where they say it over and over and over again. They utilized it with John Kerry. Flip-flop, flip-flop. I was reading articles about John Kerry when he was running for office, and there was 15 references to flip-flop. Watch for the sentence they're spewing with nothing, you know, with the fact, no facts at all to support what they're saying. Watch for the one-liners. Those are the ones you really need to pay attention right. to. Thank you, Matt, and you have a good day. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, thank you, Gene. Wonderful call, as always. You're right on the money, right on. Andrew of Detroit, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Andrew?
Happy New Year, Professor. And boy, Gene of Clear got it right, didn't she?
Sure does.
Also, I'm so glad the topic of that brat going over to Saudi Arabia, getting all that money, you know, using the presidential plane to go there, and they're talking about anything about Hunter Biden grifting. Now, Hunter Biden is an attorney. He didn't have to know anything. You can correct me if I'm wrong. He didn't have to know anything about oil or gas with Burisma. He's an attorney. And what did Jared, like you said, what did he know about investing? Absolutely nothing. But he walked away with $2 billion. And where are the weak Democrats not bringing this up?
Right.
You know, I've been a Democrat all my life, will probably be a Democrat all my life because, you know, what have we got there? But they are so spineless when it comes to the Senate should be going after Jared like nobody's business. Thanks, Matt. Have a good day.
Yeah, Andrew, you're right on the money as always. And let me build on that. The whole purpose of everything they're doing, as Gene said, it's being repeated and repeated. Frankly, as Jack of Merrimack said, all of these cases should have been brought 3 years ago. The problem was that Merrick Garland, you know, he hesitated, and better late than never. But having said that, should have been a lot earlier. Frankly, the fake electors should be prosecuted in Wisconsin right now. They have more connections to Wisconsin than they do to Georgia. They really do. Or Michigan. They're not being prosecuted. But to your point, everybody now, the whole framing of the debate, and Jean was very, very right on the money when she talked about what they did with John Kerry, when he actually had the Silver Star for combat in Vietnam, and they made Bush, who was in the Air National Guard in Texas and didn't go to meetings, which is, frankly, desertion, somehow look like the military guy. Well, they're doing this now, and what they're doing is Hunter Biden, impeach Biden. Trump was impeached twice, and the second time, 58 senators said that he should be removed from office, 58% of the Senate. But the problem is the Constitution requires 67% of the Senate. And in the current environment, that will never happen for anybody under any circumstances. But the second thing is money. What they go is, well, $2 billion, it's a business decision, blah, blah, blah. And it only matters if the guy's successful with the investments. That's false. He gets $40 million off the top every year for sitting on his butt. $40 million. I'm not defending Hunter Biden. You know, if he's a lawyer, I guess he is a lawyer. I do not know about Burisma, and they can investigate him and do whatever they want. If there's good legal process, Joe Biden had nothing to do with it. But guys, how about Jared Kushner? We do control the Senate. How about $40 million a year payback to Trump so he gets back in, and then they have their way with Trump? How about that? All right, coming up, we're going to talk about Ukraine, frozen Russian assets. And how do you like this? The head financial guy in Florida says that Florida taxpayers should pay Trump's legal bills. Coming soon.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10 on Eagle 1490 WLCX.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is the Talk of La Crosse. Eagle 1490 AM.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, a subject we've been talking about a long time, talking about the almost $300 billion that are in Western banks. Why isn't that money being given to Ukraine? For weapons, for salaries to revive their economy. When you have a genocidal sadist like Vladimir Putin, and you have a genocidal sadistic attack by Russia, they should pay for it. They should pay for it in many respects. They should pay for it militarily, and that's a separate question. But how about in any tort case, car accident or anything else, or a murder, you kill somebody, you should pay damages. Well, for sadism and genocide, they certainly should pay damages. And here's what Biden is now doing. And many of the EU are on board with him. Because as this war drags on, a lot of money is needed. It's going to take about $600 billion to reconstruct Ukraine. Ukraine is a European country. Ukraine had a civilization 200 years before Russia did. In the 10th century, that's the 900s, Russia was a forest, though all of Russia inhabited by wolves. But in the 900s, Ukraine had been a civilization for 200 years. During the Soviet era, many of the accomplishments you've heard about musicians and so forth were Ukrainians. They were not Russians. Russia did have a civilization back in the 19th century. They produced Dostoevsky and Pushkin and Gogol. They produced Tchaikovsky. They produced some great mathematicians. But what have you done for me lately, Jack? We're talking 130 years, Jack. Getting impatient. All you've done for 130 years is the gulag, sadism, torture, genocide. Well, Biden is pushing for this almost $300 billion in frozen Russian assets in the West to transfer to Ukraine. And I'm with him 100%. The goal is to do it by February 24 of 24. In other words, about a month and a half from now, a little over a month and 3 weeks. That's because that's the second anniversary of their genocidal attack on Ukraine. Belgium and other European EU countries have about half of the total $643 billion that Russia has deposited overseas. This is largely because their economy and their currency are essentially worthless. But a lot of that is, say, with China and other places where we can't influence them. The problem is there has been discussion up until now, well, how do we do this? If we start grabbing people's money in our banks, could that induce worldwide panic that that could happen to somebody else? And it wouldn't matter that we'd say, well, the Russians are a special case. Well, what if I'm a special case, blah, blah, blah. Could it undermine the euro? And that's a real concern. Some of the alternatives are the EU putting a 100% tax on the profits. That could be done legally, but it would only produce about $3 billion a year. That's not enough. Another proposal is that the money, it's actually about $298 billion in Western banks, uses collateral for Ukraine to take loans for the full amount, and then Ukraine can't pay, then it would be paid by Russian assets. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. Here's how much is everywhere. Belgium has $191 billion. Why Belgium? A small country. Because that's an EU repository for euros. $19 billion is held in banks in France. $7.8 billion in Switzerland. Some in Australia. About $4.6 billion in the United States. But the United States is the 800-pound gorilla, the big kahuna. And now increasingly, France and Germany, which had been kind of opposed to this, and the reason was that, first of all, and no one else says this, I'm going to say it again, if you're Germany and you invaded Russia in the 1940s and killed millions of people, you know there's some sensitivity. Let me put it bluntly. If you're France and you knew that Napoleon did it 200 years ago, a little over 200 years ago, invaded Russia, yeah, there's some sensitivity. Well, I don't care about their sensitivity. They're part of the EU now. They're part of the Western Alliance. They're back in Western civilization. And they're starting to come around. Finland is warned. You know, Finland has something like a 900-mile border with Russia. People can sneak over all the time. I mean, the Finns are heroic fighters. During the Second World War, they were invaded by Russia. And the way they did it, they're all skinnier than hell, and they're on these skis, and they're dressed in white, and they're wizards on the skis, and they go down the mountain with a machine gun. They can shoot a machine gun while going, very fast. And they were heroes. But you don't want to keep doing that all the time. You get tired of doing that. And so the Finns go, well, you know, let's make sure that we step up our arms production in Europe. I strongly support this, and I've got, and I've said this before on the show, but I want to say it as bluntly as possible. You want to give it the appearance of legality. I agree. Well, the Ruskies think they give stuff appearance of legality. You know, they'll have judges in robes, and they'll stroke their chins, and then they get a phone call from Putin. I want my political opponent to get 15 years. It's all appearance. It's all baloney. Well, in this case, bring suit against Russia and venue it in New York City, federal court. Russia will be served with process. They won't dare come over here because we'd arrest them, but they'll hire New York lawyers and they'll appear and they'll argue why we shouldn't do this. And the judge then will enter summary judgment that it should be done. They can appeal. They can go up to the Supreme Court. Unfortunately, we have six tarantulas, maybe a couple of them by accident will do something right. A blind pig finds an acorn every once in a while. Maybe they'll do it. Who knows? And then we take the money and that's it. And then somebody from, you know, some smaller country goes, well, why should I trust it? Well, there was legal process. And as long as you don't genocidally invade anybody else, you're golden. So this is a very, very big development. Do not discount this development. And it would be a terrific thing. Russia has now said, we're going to seize some assets ourselves with the West. Go ahead. McDonald's got out. Anybody with anything on the ball went out. You may have, you know, Steven Seagal is sucking up to Putin. Maybe he sees his bank account. Who cares? Okay, coming up, a lot of news, a lot of weather, and something you will not believe. You think you knew every lawsuit Trump is involved in that could really damage him? There's one coming up on January 29 you have never heard of. Coming up.
Yeah, blood in the streets, it's up to my ankles. Blood in the streets, it's up to my knee. Blood in the streets, the town of Chicago. Blood on the rise, follow it.
The talk that matters to you and fits your lifestyle.
Tune out all the yelling and screaming.
Come soaring with Eagle 1490. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC.